be home. They're talking about how cold it is in Wyoming, and actually we had a little heat snap before we left. It was 3 degrees when we left Riverton, and that's pretty hot right now. For 5 weeks we've had snow on the ground. It's supposed to get 8 inches while we're gone, so I'm sad we're missing it. But it's been fantastic. It is good to be back in Seminole. I thought, man, I'm looking forward to a vacation. I don't have to worry about writing a sermon. Things are going to be so good. And then Polka said, are you coming to see me when you get here? I said, yeah, I'm coming. And he said, you want to preach? No, I'm fine with it. I love it. It gives us an opportunity to be back. And we have missed our Seminole family. I was telling some of the kids earlier, I spoke to them a little bit in the class, about I still have students in Riverton that remind me of the little quirks that our teenagers here have. I said in class, I have the exact replica of Cheyenne in Riverton. So I thought I was going to escape that, but I still have someone who has an IQ half my age that far exceeds mine. So it's been wonderful. Thought I'd give you guys a little update on what it's like where we are in now. Mike is right. If you do run, and it's very cold outside, if you do run, you can die. But as you can tell, I have no trouble with that because I don't run. There has been recess shut down because when the kindergartners are getting ready to go out and play, there's a mountain lion sleeping on top of the slide. We have moose that come through town, through our rivers. We have grizzly bears and black bears and wolves. So it's a different culture. And after January, we will see temperatures in the negatives, and it'll be March before they get out of the negatives. But the cold is not as bad as you would think. We do not have all the humidity that Oklahoma has, so it is very dry. I've never worn chapstick in my life until we moved to Riverton. So not only do you see women driving to church putting their lipstick on, you see men driving to church now in Riverton putting their chapstick on. I have never had to wear lotion, and I can't stand lotion until I moved to Riverton. But for all of the scenery that we have and the wildlife and the things that we have to do there, it's been totally worth it. We get snow year-round. At church camp this last year in the middle of July, we got flurries one day. We don't get to see rain, so that was something we hope we get to see while we're in Oklahoma, because we get 6 inches of rain a year, and that's it where we're living at now. But Riverton is great. The church is phenomenal. We are growing. We've added 3 or 4 families, and we're working on a fifth. We started with 3 teenagers, and now we have 8 or 9. So the harvest is plentiful in Riverton. There's 11,500 people. Not only that, we actually live next to the country's biggest reservation. So there are plenty of people to reach and to share God's word with. One of the things I worked on when I went to Wyoming was there's a church 24 miles away from Riverton and Lander, and they didn't like each other. Most of them didn't know why. So I told them, in the South, we churches, we like each other, so we're going to like each other here. So the relationship between the two congregations has been phenomenal, and that's something we've worked very hard to do. I'm the first preacher that got to speak at Lander in over 20 years. So it has been just an absolute blessing. And what's topped it off is that my family loves it more than I do. So it's been great. Wyoming is, in fact, God's country. So even though you guys have the Sooners. That Alabama game, though. Whew. All right. Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14, if you want to follow along there. And we'll get to the scripture that our Polka read just a minute ago. And I'm so thankful to be here and get the opportunity to speak with you this morning. Starting around verse 22, this is one of the most well-known passages in the New Testament. This is Christ walking on water, but we're going to look at it a little different this morning. I know I think I've mentioned when I preached here before a little bit about Peter's situation, but I want to look at it a little more and look at this maybe a little different than normally we would read it. We're going to focus more on Peter this morning than we are really looking at Jesus walking on water, because I want to look at some of the things he does here. In a passage of Scripture where Christ tells him, ye of little faith, Peter actually has quite a bit of faith in this passage, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. But Peter, I love Peter. He's probably one of my most favorite in the Bible because to me, I read about Peter and I see myself. I see a man who wears his emotions on his sleeve, a man that's hot and cold and hot and cold. And sometimes Peter gets a bad rap, but this morning I'm hoping we can look at him a little bit different. And I know some of you are probably saying, but Josh, he denied Christ. How could he be so good? And I would argue that all of us at one point have denied Christ. Maybe not face to face, not using our words, but maybe in a decision we made in life. And if you've already noticed, I'm not going to stand behind this pulpit. We don't have nice pulpits like this where we live, so I almost feel bad standing behind it. But he's a man that represents what it is to be a human being. He has more human characteristics and more insights that I could see where I could look at myself and say, man, he's exactly who we are, even though he's an apostle. He had the same struggles that we struggled with. We're talking about a man who's on fire. He's cutting someone's ear off one minute, and the very next minute, he's denying Christ, which is a lot like our lives. For 9 years, I spent most of my time as a youth minister. We go to camp. The kids are on fire, and then they go back to school a month later, and they're back to where they were. That's kind of how Peter's life is. But we know after Christ's death and his resurrection and ascension that Peter has a change. And he does a bunch of amazing things. In Acts, it talks about Peter was out preaching and people wanted to come and see him just so his shadow would grace them. It's pretty incredible, a guy that's come from here to up. But in this passage, we're going to look at this a little bit different. This morning I want to look at Peter and some of the ways he demonstrates great faith. And the first one is, can you see Jesus? That's our first one. Can you see Jesus? Now let's read the passage this morning, Matthew 22 through 33. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So the first one this morning is, can you see Jesus? Before we go into that, I'm going to tell you a story. When I was writing the sermon, I remembered an experience I had when we first moved to Wyoming. A guy in church asked me if I wanted to go fishing. And yeah. So I go fishing. And we're going to get out on this boat. There's nothing but trout there. There's some catfish, but mostly trout. And he likes to troll. So we get out there and we go trolling. But when we first arrived, I noticed that the wind had picked up. It was probably gusting at 40. This is in April. The temperature was probably 35 degrees. I'm not used to their kind of temperature yet. But I get out and I look out on the lake, and it's Lake Boyson. Our folk has seen it, passed over. But it's a pretty good lake. At one point on the highway, you follow it straight 19 miles. So it's pretty good size. And I happen to look out on the water, and I see white capping. All right. Not only is it white capping, these waves are like 5 to 6 feet tall. I'm like, "Dave, nah. I'm not getting on that boat. We don't get in boats like that in Oklahoma. I come from a place that has wind, okay?" And his immediate response was, "Boy, this is Wyoming. We're getting in that boat. We're going to go trolling." Okay, so I get in the boat. Not only is it moving like that, Dave drives 35 miles an hour on the water on those waves. Okay? Nah. I was scared to death. I We don't do that back home, Dave. But, you know, I had to act tough. And by act tough, I didn't let go of his little thing that holds his windshield up. I grabbed onto that like that was going to save me if we wrecked. But it sure made me feel more comfortable in that moment. But I noticed as we're trying to cheat death for a while that these winds are actually pushing in a storm. And it's getting really dark. And so I say, Dave, why don't we go to the truck? Boy, this is Wyoming. This is how we fish. And I'm starting to think, man, Seminole sounds a whole lot little better right now. I'll give up the mountains as long as I get to keep my life. But we're going through this, and, you know, it got to a point where he's driving so fast, I think he was getting a little scared a little bit too, because he finally slowed down. It's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but it looks dusk, you know, in the evening when the sun's starting to go down. You can barely see. You can barely see. And so it was at this time with Peter. The waves are going nuts. They can't see anything. And Christ comes, and they think it's a ghost. And he has to tell them, don't fear, it is I. But they can't see Jesus. So in our faith, is our faith right now in a moment where we can't see him? Because our life's waves and storms and darkness are so dark that we're not focused on him. That we're not focused on who the one person alive at this time who could possibly walk on the water. And we don't believe that it's him. It would have been an amazing thing to see. But I remember I was with Dave. We're about a mile off coast, and I remember thinking, if we crash, I don't know if Dave hasn't realized yet, but I don't quite have the swimmer's body. Swimming is something that I don't do. A lot like running. We're in trouble. The only way I'm going to make it to shore is if someone brings my wife's meatloaf and sets it right there on the beach. I'll get there. My wife makes good meatloaf. Trump would say it was beautiful. But they must have been thinking the same way. And he says, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. It's dark. The winds and the waves are howling. They are fearful. So can we see Jesus? Or is our faith much more than that? Is our faith what we would call spiritually 20/20? Or is Jesus out of focus? Is he too far away for us to see him? We experience these same things that they're experiencing. When life's troubles, whatever that may be, maybe we're having trouble financially one month. Maybe we're in a marriage that's a little rocky and turbulent. Maybe our teenagers are doing things that we don't approve of. Maybe our family's arguing, bickering, whatever the case may be. Those are life's waves. Are we still focused on Jesus? Do we still believe he is there in front of us? So what do? We do what Peter did. Get out of the boat. Our second thing this morning, will your faith lead you out of the boat? Every time I read verse 28 through the first half of 29, I'm moved. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus says. That's always one of those words you can read and read that I wish I'd have been there to hear him say that. Because I know it would have been one of the most epic times in their following of Jesus. Come. One word. We've talked about what's going on and what they're experiencing through it all. And ideally, when you're out in a boat in the middle of a thunderstorm or the waves are going crazy, where's the safest place to be? The boat. The boat's the safest place to be, ideally. But Peter knew something different than the others who were on that boat knew. He knew the safest place to be was not in the boat, but in fact, standing with who? Jesus Christ. So he asked him, if it's you, tell me to come to you on water. Our boat's pretty comfortable sometimes, isn't it? It is hard to leave a place where we're comfortable to go somewhere else, isn't it? That's what this boat represents. I don't want out of the boat. It's scary out there. When Dave was driving me 35 miles an hour on 6-foot waves in the middle of a lake that I have no experience with, you're talking about a guy who was raised at the lake, who has skied and who has tubed, and I was scared out of my mind. The safest place for me at that moment was in the boat. Even after it stopped, I was gripping that bar so hard, it took me a minute to get my fingers ungripped. But Peter knows something different. He knows that Christ is, in fact, more powerful than what's going on around him. So he tells him, I want to get out. I hope that I'm not the first to tell you this, but when we have a relationship with Christ, there are going to be some uncomfortable moments. There are going to be times where we've got to get out of our comfort zone in order to focus on Christ, in order to go to Christ. There's going to be times where someone says, hey, I need you to get up and do the prayers for the table. I remember the first time someone asked me to do the prayers for the table. I could have died right there and been just fine. I remember when Nuwala said, hey, we would like you to be our youth minister. I said yes, real excitingly. And then a couple months later, hey, we need you to preach. And I'm like, what is that? That thing that David does up there on Sunday mornings? No, I'm good. I'm good. I was scared. I remember the first time I was told, hey, I need you to teach your first Bible class. No. No way. Not going to happen. I remember the first time someone said, hey, you need to be the leader in your household. You need to step up and be the Christian father and the Christian husband that you were meant to be. And I remember thinking, no way. It's out of my comfort zone. I don't know if I can lead them. There are going to be a lot of times where it's going to be uncomfortable. Moving to another state where you know nobody. Because that's where God wants you to be. I've lived in Oklahoma my whole life. I had dreams of moving to the mountains, but I knew they were never going to be reality. And then the joke's on me. This is where God is saying, I need you to be. Where does God need us to be? If we're going to be successful, we've got to be outside of the boat. We've got to get out of that place that's comfortable and safe. Make some moves spiritually so that we can connect with people, so that we can reach people that haven't been reached. That's the only way to do it. Jesus is the only way we stay safe. Jesus is the only way we get through life's storms, that we make it through those tall waves. Jesus, if we remain focused on Him, is the only way. But that's not all Peter did. Peter did something else incredible. Number three, can your faith right now, everyone think this to themselves, can your faith in Jesus Christ right now help you walk on water? Because Peter did. One of the things that sometimes annoys me about the way we teach this passage is that we teach it, Peter asked Jesus to get on the water, he stepped out on the water, looked around and began to sink. Is that what happened? Is that what happened? No. Peter asked Jesus to get on the boat. He walked on water. And just so you know, the waves are still doing this. He didn't have a nice straight pathway that Jesus rolled out the red carpet for him. He's walking up and down to Jesus. And he gets so close, in fact, that when he does take his eyes off Jesus, he's close enough to the man he couldn't see just a minute ago, reach his hand down to him. That's pretty incredible. What faith. And then what does Jesus say when he reaches his hand down? He says, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And I think Jesus says that because he was pulling for Peter. He was a little disappointed. You were almost here. I was going to catch you. I wanted you by my side. Why did you doubt? You think about the times where maybe our children do something that disappoint us. And what do we say to them? Why? Why did you do that? You're better than that. I raised you better than that. And that's almost the sense that I'm getting from Jesus right here. Peter, you know better. You have seen me do magnificent things. Why did you doubt? But he reaches down like parents do, and he pulls him out anyway. Isn't that what we do as parents? Why do we do that? Because we love them. And Jesus loved Peter. The verse that Poca read just a minute ago, 46, 1 through 3, from Psalms. I'm going to read it one more time. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. God wants to save us through unbearable times. That is the design. When we're walking through those waves, when we're walking through the darkness and the storms, when everything's crashing down around us, God wants us to come to Him. Just like Jesus said to Peter, come. Because He knows that's the most intimate time He's going to share with us. When He pulls us, when He reaches His hand down and He pulls us from the depths. That's what God desires in our relationship with Him. And I love that He paints a picture of these natural disasters. Because who in here is not afraid of natural disasters? I didn't think so. Seems like every week we got a tornado or a tsunami or an earthquake. I have a family in Alaska that just went through that earthquake. Their house was flooded. It's every week we're praying for a different part of our country because Mother Nature has rained down something fierce on them. I live next to a super volcano. All right, how stupid is that? Why would someone move to a volcano? But it's one of the most prettiest sights on earth. Yellowstone, if you have not been there, is, I'm telling you, God took His paintbrush and it's amazing. Beautiful, beautiful place. When I first moved to Wyoming, you can ask my wife. We got this question nonstop. Josh, you're 31 years old. 32 now. Happy birthday, I know. 32 years old. How in the good Lord's sweet name did you survive all those tornadoes? That's all the question we got. They didn't care where we were from, how old we were, what our kids' name was. The first question we got was, how did you live in Oklahoma and survive tornadoes? I'm going to tell you what. Heaven forbid a tornado ever go through Riverton, Wyoming. But if it does, I'm going to get in my lawn chair and I'm going to drink some tea and I'm going to watch that show. Because it will be can't miss, I promise you. All right, because they are deathly afraid of tornadoes. For some reason, they've never had one. They watch too much news. But alive and healthy somewhat. But God paints this picture, even through the most unimaginable circumstance, through the worst thing you could possibly think of, I'll be there. When you walk to me and stumble and fall and begin to sink, I will be there. Doesn't mean I won't be disappointed or rebuke you, but I'll be there through unimaginable times. But he gets out and he walks toward Jesus. The only thing that could have made my boat ride any worse with Dave is if, in fact, someone walked on the water towards me. Because then I would have jumped out the other side and I would have made sure. And I would have kept on running. And like Mike said, I probably would have died not long after that. I would die right now if I ran in Oklahoma. That's how out of shape I am. So, but I can't imagine what they must have been feeling. They're seeing a man standing afar on water, and Peter has the courage to do what he did. Jesus, if it's you, have me come to you on water. Come. And then he gets out. He's not bluffing. He got out and he walked a considerable ways, considering they could not see his face. That's pretty amazing what Peter did. And for all of the crazy things that Peter did, Peter rose to the top. After Christ's ascension, you start reading the book of Acts, and who's leading the charge? Peter. Peter preaches two of the greatest sermons ever preached post Christ's death, resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. The first two main lessons brought thousands of people to God. I'd be willing to bet that most of the preachers in Oklahoma haven't brought 1,000 to the Lord combined. We may speak to thousands, but think how incredible that is. A fisherman and what he was able to accomplish is absolutely amazing. For a man who was told, "You have little faith, why did you doubt?" And Christ is saying that to us as well. Every single person in here has a purpose and a plan. God can use you the same way He used Peter. Would your faith right now allow us to walk on water? Because I'm telling you, that's some pretty strong faith. And you can have the strongest faith in the world, but you're still going to make mistakes along the way, just like Peter did. So for a man who sometimes gets a bad rap, what an example we can follow. And we know we can follow Peter, because where was he headed? He was headed to Jesus Christ. And we should all want to head the same way. Amen? I forgot, in Oklahoma, people don't say amen in church. Everybody, the first time I preached in Wyoming, there were about 30 of them throughout my sermon. I thought, either this is how they are, or my preaching skills just got a whole lot better. But I can't wait to tell the people back home, because I got 30 amens, and that's more than I've ever had in any sermon combined. Wyoming makes me feel special. It should not matter what it is. I don't care if you're walking through water or the floor is lava, that was for the teenagers, or life is so tough. If we stay focused on Christ, we will not sink. We will not fail. Because Christ is that powerful. Because He's God's Son. And our God loves us unconditionally. The good thing is, when I preach, you know it's short. So we're almost done. But Psalms 46, I want to read one more time before we quit this morning. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. We serve an awesome God, do we not? A God that loves us. A God that forgives us and has mercy on us. What an amazing opportunity we have as His sons and His daughters to follow a God like that. A God that forgives us for unimaginable things. A God that forgives a man that denies Christ, not once, not twice, but three times to his face. What an incredible God we serve. I've been away 9 months. I see a lot of familiar faces, and I see some faces that, good to meet you. But no matter what, I don't know what everyone's story is, but we have a God that wants us to walk to Him, that wants us to come to Him, that wants us to be baptized into His Son's blood so that we can be clothed and raised anew in His Son, so that we can walk with the Holy Spirit around into the world, touching other people's lives. That's what He wants. If you haven't made the commitment to give your life to Christ, to be baptized into His blood, His death, His burial, His resurrection, then today is the day. Don't leave here without making that choice. If you've already done that and you've fallen away, saying to you, do not leave here without making that choice. Don't take this assembly for granted. And the experiences that we share together, including when someone decides to give their life to Christ or recommits their life to Christ. Let's share in those opportunities this morning. Don't leave here without being called a son or a daughter. What an absolute blessing. I'm so thankful to the elders and our POCA for allowing me to be here this morning. It has been great seeing our family and our friends again. This congregation is home to me. I spent my life and an early part of my life at a different one, but this one in a year changed a lot of things for me, and I will be forever grateful. It can do the same to you. So whatever your need is this morning, come as we stand and as we sing.